Christ, the Son of God, but we become children of God when we receive him. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6 tonight. Normally on Wednesday nights, we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I've enjoyed it, and we still have probably another 4 or 5 chapters left to go through, but the Lord kind of laid this upon my heart a few weeks ago, and I think it's going to be an encouragement and help to you as we get ready to advance into 2021. It's kind of exciting. A new year's happening, and also it's kind of exciting to think that hopefully it won't be as different as it was last year. You think about last year's, a lot of different things happened, a lot of interesting, unusual, challenging things that happened in 2020. 2021, we're hoping, is going to be a little bit different, but who knows? You know, the Lord's coming back someday soon, and as he gets closer and closer to his return, things are going to be different, and things are going to be changing. So let's think here for a little bit about in Luke chapter number 6. It's not your car then. It was somebody's, but they got it. Luke chapter number 6. So I was thinking about a title for the message tonight. It's a little bit of a unique message, but I think you're going to get it. I think it's going to be enjoyable, but also something that's going to be convicting and hopefully help you in your life, your Christian life. If you're willing to listen, the Word of God can change your heart and your life, no matter what it is that's being said, and also whoever it is that's preaching it. And one of the most annoying things in the world is when you get something in your eye. The reality is, I don't know about for you, for me, I don't like anything near my eyes. I've tried wearing contacts twice in my life, and the reason why is I have such a hard time putting them in. My wife can do it within a few seconds, done, and she's going. I'm sitting there at the eyeglass place, and I'm excited. I'm getting my contacts, and I'm sitting there, and they wait with you until you put them in, take them out, and do it a couple times. I was there for like 40 minutes, and I just said, I don't want to do this anymore. It's because I don't like things around my eyes. Well, then, you know, 10 years later, I thought, you know what? I'm older now, more mature. I can do this. It was worse the second time. It really was. And one of the most painful things, and I think maybe this happens to kids more than adults, is when you get soap in your eyes. Oh, that hurts. That's just a really big challenge. So tonight we're going to talk about cleaning out your eyes, cleaning out your eyes. And when you look at the passage of Scripture, it's going to make some sense. It's talking about the person who's trying to get the little speck or dust out of the one person's eye, but they're struggling because they got this big giant beam that's in their own eye and they don't even realize it. And we're going to look a little bit about having our eyes clean out or cleaning out your eyes, because I know in 2021, I know most of the people in this room, if not all, would like to be a blessing to somebody. They want to help somebody. They want to be encouraged. I mean, that's part of the reason why we pray. That's part of the reason why we study. That's part of the reason why we're faithful to church, is not only because we want to grow in our own walk with the Lord, but I don't know about you, but I want to help other people. I want to help my family. I know many times we hear requests, hey, pray for my son, pray for my daughter, pray for my parents, pray for my grandparents. They're away from God. It's going to take a mighty moving of God. You know, all those different things. And the reality is, how can we be a help and blessing to other people? How is that going to happen in our lives? And that's what this passage of Scripture is talking about a little bit. I know the primary part of the text is probably talking to religious leaders. And when he says in verse number, you look at chapter number 6, when it says in verse number 39, it says, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall also be as his master. What the Scriptures are saying there, he's speaking to specifically to religious leaders here. And as he's speaking to the religious leaders, he's saying to them in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, he says, look, you are spiritually blind. And how can a person who is spiritually blind be leading someone who is not spiritual? Are they going to get to the right destination? And the answer is no. In the end, they're both going to fall into a ditch. And in the end, they're both going to be in a mess. In the end, unless they get right with God, they're going to end up in a horrible place called hell. And so when we consider what's being said here, how do we help other people? How do we, as believers, be an encouragement to those that do not know Christ? How do we help those that are maybe away from the Lord? How is it that we can help lead them back to a right relationship with God when we ourselves are struggling. So if we really want to be a help in 2021, I think we're going to have to do is take a deep look inside and clean out any of the specks or the beams or the motes or whatever it is that we have in our own eyes, which means us making sure we're clean. Because one of our greatest desires, I believe many of your lives, is that Christ be glorified, that God be glorified in our life, and that we help those that we know are struggling. We help those that are away from God. We help those that need to be saved. We help those that we know are spiritually hurting. But how can we do that when we're struggling ourselves? How can we be showing someone, hey, here's a right walk with God, when we ourselves are struggling with that too? So let's go ahead and read through this a little bit. I think we're going to go up and we're going to start in the passages of Scripture found in verse number, we'll go ahead and go to verse number 35. Now, he is talking not just about religious leaders here. He is also talking to the believers and to his disciples. There's a large group that's there. So this is applicable to all. It says, but love your enemies. And you'll remember this is from similar to what's found in the Sermon on the Mount. I do not believe it's the exact same time period when it's done. We've gone through the book of Luke. I told you how in the timeline I'm seeing like it's different, that when Jesus went and he preached in one spot, and he went travel many miles again, of course he's going to preach a similar message to different people because they need to hear the truth. Sort of like an evangelist might go, like Brother McBride, he may preach one message here, and he might, and this week he's holding a revival at Brother Barnhouse's church. He might preach it again because of the fact that's how God laid upon his heart. And I think Jesus is just here teaching to a different group of people, and he's saying some things that we're familiar with. He says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. You just heard about being child of the king. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Wow, that's a mouthful itself, but that's not what we're going to be preaching about tonight, but that should have some little bit of conviction there, being kind, not just to the people that it's easy to be kind to, but to those that are unthankful. And to those that are doing wrong, you know, most of us think, man, if they don't tell me thank you or send me a thank you note, I don't want to do anything ever again. But why do we do it? Do we do it to get thanked? No, we do it because we feel like we're supposed to. It says in verse 36, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And are we merciful to other people? And verse 37. Now, in verse number 37, I think is a passage of Scripture that some people are confused about. There's two different sides on this. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. So in this passage of Scripture, what it's saying here is, hey, look, you're not supposed to have a condemning spirit towards others. Now, we're going to park here for just a second because I think it has some application to what we're going to talk about here in a little while about trying to get rid of the stuff in other people's lives when we don't worry about our own life. So you say, well, the Bible seems confusing there because in the epistles, it talks about marking those that cause divisions. It's talking about those who try to preach another gospel, they're cursed. And there's a lot of different things in there where they're saying you should judge, you should call out the lack of Bible teaching and the heresy that's there, and that is true. And on one hand, there is people out there that say, hey, all churches should come together, and that's where it's leading towards that one world church. Everything should be accepted. Everything should be tolerated. Everything should be, hey, everybody come, and we all should join hands and sing Kumbaya. Doesn't matter what doctrine says. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. And then there's on the other side, there's people who see how bad the church is getting and see how I don't know how much, so much like the world is getting, that they become judged themselves and they start condemning others. And as they condemn others, they look for righteousness, but instead of looking at God's righteousness or Christ's righteousness, they begin looking at their own self-righteousness. They begin looking at things according to the ways that they feel like it should be done and how they've been taught and what they grew up with. And you know what? The Bible works for everyone, but your own self-righteousness doesn't work for everybody. It's God, and it's God's righteousness that we should be striving for. That's the goal here. And that's what he's saying here is there's a condemnation that's happening here. I think what they're saying here is not to pronounce judgment, not to condemn others, but instead, as you approach someone with a fault, because the Bible speaks about that, as you try to be a help with someone, you know what we should do? It's in the hope of gaining a brother. It's in the hope of bringing someone to Christ that might not know him. And this is where the challenge is. There are those out there that, hey, everybody's welcome. And, you know, everybody that's welcome, when they don't know Christ, they're not getting to heaven. And that one world church, that liberal thing that doesn't preach against sin and doesn't need conviction when it comes to a relationship with God, that can believe one thing and say it works for everybody, that's wrong. And those over here who care more about their own things and their own thoughts and their own righteousness, all those other things, it's wrong also. And so the point is, where does the Bible fall into all this? Think about what it says in John 7:24. It says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge the righteous, judge with righteous judgment." Why do we try to help somebody else? Why is it that you approach somebody that you believe is struggling and living in a sin, and they've maybe had a fault with you? Is it because you've prayed and you want to gain a brother? Why in the world would you go talk to somebody else about that without talking to them about it? I don't know how many times when I've sat somebody across the table, they come to me and say, "Pastor, this offended me, and this person did this to me, and this." And I says, "Did you tell it? Did you talk to that person about it?" "No." And I said, "I understand why you come to me as a pastor looking for some spiritual advice. Have you talked to anybody else about it?" "Only the people I'm really close with." There's something wrong with that. There's a problem. The Bible says in Matthew, and it goes and says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear it, thou hast gained thy brother." So as we're getting to this spot, and I'm hoping that as we walk out this place, we're looking at our own self, trying to say, hey, do I need to get something out of my own eye so I can be a blessing and help to someone else? And how do I do that? How do I become that blessing? How do I be that help? What is it that I need to do? What is it that I need to change? Now, obviously, in Romans 16:17, it talked about marking those that cause divisions. And Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, talks about if someone preaches another gospel, you know, we should not listen to them. They be accursed. And Jesus himself is teaching here in verse number 37, look, when you judge not, you shall not be judged, condemn not, you know, all these different things. What he's saying here is make sure that you're doing it for the right reason. Don't be condemning someone for something that you're trying to be a help and a blessing to. If those people are preaching false doctrine, yes, stand up and shout about it. But if those that need help with a brother, you turn and you approach them as brothers. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Let's keep on going. Our goal is to gain people back with identifying when there's an issue or a fault. There's identification there that when someone is wrong or someone is doing wrong, we go to them, and the idea of restoring them as a brother or sister in Christ. And lots of people want to sign up for that job. And they're like, hey, that's what I want to do. But in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken at a fault, ye which are," anybody know what that next word is? Spiritual. "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So what it's saying there is that we go, and when we are approaching someone that we're burdened about and we love them and we want to pray for them, we want to see them get right, our hearts are broken about it, and God's saying, hey, look, if you see somebody that's overtaken with a fault, you see someone who's struggling, he says, "Ye that are spiritual," meaning that you that are spiritually minded, you that are mature, not the guy that has the beam in their eye, not the guy that's not trying to restore a brother and bring them back into a right relationship so they can become part of the church family again. He says, "Ye that are spiritual." And then and if you keep on going down in Galatians chapter 6, there's even more scripture. But once again, I didn't want to get focused on preaching on those things. I wanted to focus here what it says. We'll keep on going to verse number 39. "And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? So they not both fall into the ditch." Verse number 40, I think verse 39 is pretty self-explanatory. We'll come back to it in a second. Verse number 40, he's talking about the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. That if you're a teacher, if you're a master in that day, you know what? They're not going to be the master. But if they follow after you and the things you've taught them, the things that they've learned, guess what? They're going to end up just like you are. They shall be as his master. If you're a spiritually on a person who's unsaved. They were talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders here. He says, look, if you teach all your students this and they become like you, they're going to be in the same mess that you are. That's when they're talking about the blind leading the blind. Verse 41, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And that verse is one of the things we're going to focus on tonight. He's saying here, don't go up and try to fix someone else's life. And that's what many times people will look at and they say, hey, you got a little problem here. You need to fix this, when they have something really big in their own life and they're ignoring that. And that's when the scriptures are saying, hey, ye that are spiritual. So tonight, if we really truly want to be a blessing to those that are struggling, maybe they're lost, maybe they're saved people that aren't coming to church, not because of COVID, because they've fallen away, and maybe there are sons and our daughters and our parents and grandparents and whoever, brothers and sisters, and we really want to make a huge difference in their life this year. Ye that are spiritual, help restore them. Now you that are so interested in fixing their lives, clean out your own eyes first. Make sure that you don't have that. And if you look what it's saying in verse 41, the mote that is in thy brother's eyes, it gets the idea of a little speck, maybe a little splinter. As I mentioned, one of the most difficult things in life is to have something in your eye. And what do you do to try to clean it out? You keep on rubbing it and rubbing it. Sometimes you wash it out with water continuously. There's a little splinter in there or a little something, an eyelash or a little speck of dirt. But then that's the idea of the mote there in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not even considering, not even paying attention, not the beam that is in thine own eye. So it's the idea of like having a 2x4 in your own eye. If you wanted to look at some interesting images, I even Googled an image that thought in there, and there's some interesting things that came up. They got this huge piece of wood sticking out of one person's eye while they're trying to reach and they're trying to get to the other person, but they can't even help that person because that's the obstacle. And that's what the obstacle in so many of our lives are, is we've got this sin and we're so immature spiritually. We want to help that person and we think because of their issue and their problem, hey, you need my help. Hey, I'm supposed to teach you. I'm the elder, I'm the older, or I'm this. And those are biblical principles that are there. But ye that are spiritual, make sure that your heart is right before you start going around and trying to clean up people's others' eyes. We need to clean out our own eyes. Let's keep on going. Verse 42. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? And look what he calls him, thou hypocrite. Cast out first the beam. It says, cast out first the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I love the verse there because, look, get rid of the stuff that's in your own eye. Get rid of the sin that's in your own heart. Then you can clearly see what the other person needs. You're not going to be able to see it beforehand. All those things beforehand, maybe it's your self-righteousness. All those things beforehand are things that you have interpreted that this person needs to fix this and fix this. And God is saying, fix yourself before you go and start trying to fix somebody else. Pastor, does that mean I never try to help somebody else? No, it means that we get our hearts right so we can be used, so we can be a blessing. Let's keep on going. Verse 43. And then he begins to give examples here. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. And so the example is there, this is a test for you. Are you producing good fruit? The people that you're talking to and trying to help, and are they someone you want to be like? No, they're somebody that you want them to become like you because you're like Christ. And you know what? If you're not producing good fruit, then guess what? You shouldn't be helping them. Let's keep on going here. Verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, out of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What the scripture is saying here, sooner or later it's going to come out. Sooner or later, some people can talk a good game, but sooner or later it's going to come out of their mouth, whether what their heart truly means, what their heart truly says. Verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I remember when we went through the book of Luke, we spent a whole message on that verse specifically. And I think even since then, we've looked at that as one of the great questions of the Bible. It's just powerful. There, I mean, why do we call him Lord and don't do the things he says? Not just Lord, why call ye me Lord, Lord, saying, I believe that you're in the highest place and you deserve all honor and all praise and all glory. It's the songs that we sing. You know, those are the songs we lift up his name, we praise him, we worship him. And he says, you say all those things, but then you don't even do the things I ask you to do. Let's keep on going. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, it is like a man that is without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. And we remember this from the book of Matthew, from the Sermon on the Mount, talking about the two different builders, one that built upon a solid foundation, one that built upon the sand. So that's there. And what's the key? It's not just knowing what to do, knowing what's been said, but also doing it. So three points tonight, and I've alluded to most of them, so I think they'll go fairly quickly. Number one is, why it is important to keep your eyes clean. Why is it important to keep your eyes clean? First thing is, so you can see where you're going. I struggle with keeping my glasses clean all the time. My wife sometimes will come up and says, you really need to clean your glasses. I said, I can see out of them. But then when I clean them, you know what happens? I can see so much clearer. I can see so much better. And the challenge is, if we really want to keep our eyes clean, if we want to be right with the Lord, so we can actually see where we're going. If we choose to do what we want, hear the sayings that God says, and do our own way, the Bible says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a mess out of our life. He says that we're going to ruin our life. How great the fall that house is when someone knows the hearing and doing of the word of God and chooses not to do it. So we need to know where we're going. Secondly, you won't be able, underneath why it's important, you won't be able to see where you're going. Secondly, you won't be able to help anyone else see where they're going. Look what it says in verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now, I'm not trying to pick on those person that may be seeing impaired. It's not. You know, Jesus himself, the kindest person, is making an illustration here. He's teaching them a lesson. Can that person that is spiritually blind lead someone else that's spiritually blind to God? And the answer is no. And in my own life, I believe that you can make application here that can that person that has backslidden help that other person that has backslidden get right with God? Can lead them, hey, look, follow after me. And yes, if you're backslidden, you have the Holy Spirit of God. I understand what you're saying. But what Jesus is saying here, stop worrying about the other people. Get yourself right so you can see clearly now so you can help that person. Because all I've ever seen in my life, a person who's away from God and backslidden from God, they're going down a path and they're taking other people with them sometime. Oh, you don't got to listen to that preacher. You don't got to go to that church. That stuff's not found in the Bible. I used to do this and there's movements out there today of questioning things about churches that are similar to ours, just making outrageous statements about certain individuals and applying it to all the different people. I tell you, in my life, as an independent Baptist, I grew up in an independent Baptist church. I can tell you got countless Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, junior church teachers, bus workers, who loved the Lord. No, they weren't perfect. They're like us. And they served God with their heart. And they gave of themselves. They gave of their time. They gave of their resources. Now, I know you can go find some horror stories. You can go Google online some things that independent Baptist preachers have done. And we don't even know if they were saved and things like that. And I get why people are saying these things. But in my own life, I can say I have gotten so much more than I've seen bad things that have happened. And God has worked and dealt in my own life personally, and I can say the majority of people I've met that are independent Baptists love the Lord and they love people. And I'm thankful for that. So Pastor, what are you getting at? What are we going to do? If we truly want to help somebody else, what we're going to have to do is make sure that we're clearly seeing what God's trying to teach. Look what it says at the end of verse number 42. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. That's what we need to make sure, is that we're seeing clearly what God's trying to teach us. Remember, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, because people are, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? So we can have a brother or sister restored once again. Sometimes people don't like church discipline, but the reality is, what's the purpose of it? It's to try to restore people back to the fellowship of the church and fellowship in relationship with God Almighty. And that's when we try to go up to somebody and say, hey, can you consider this? This is something you've done to me. This is something I needed. The Lord's speaking to my heart to talk to you about. Can I help you here? Can I encourage you here with this? Why is that? It's not so, hey, everybody, I'm in charge and I can tell everybody else what to do. And some people thrive on that, a little bit of being in charge. And they overexert that. But the purpose is to try to teach somebody. And there's a way to teach somebody. Relationships is a way to teach someone. If they know that you love them, and they know that you care about them, and they know that you're praying for them, and they know that you're there for them. You know, I know sometimes correction is necessary because sometimes nobody else is around. I hate correcting people's kids I don't know. Why is that? Because I think for most of the kids, at least the one that I've known, that have known me for a little while, I can go up to them and I can correct them. Do they like it? No, they don't like it. Nobody really likes correction except for a wise man. I have a relationship there. They know that I'm not ugly towards them. They know that I'm going to be fair with them. They know that the reason why I'm correcting them is because they need it and it was needful and it's what's best for them. If I have a relationship with them, it helps the thing go a lot farther. For people that don't have relationships and they start correcting and they start yelling and they start doing other things, you know what's going to happen? That's going to cause the child to rebel or anyone to rebel. So it's important that we learn how to correct, because I want to help that young person do what is right. And then it goes from teenagers, and then it goes up to adults. We were talking about parenting a little bit in our Sunday school class this past Sunday. It's not my favorite thing in the world to pick apart other people and say, you need to do this and you need to do that. I don't like doing that. Is it easy to do? It is. So, is it necessary? Sometimes it is necessary because the Bible speaks about things. But at other times, I need to make sure that I don't have anything in my own eyes so I can see clearly. Because I don't want to be the person running over somebody else because I got my own beam in my own eye to try to get out a speck of dust in their own eye. We need to be careful. Make sure that we can see clearly. So the first thing is why it's important. The second thing is how to clean your eyes. How to clean your eyes. I went and did a little research. It wasn't very interesting. I didn't learn anything new. You can make some type of eye salve, but we weren't even going to talk about that. Most of the time, the way you clean out your eyes is by running water over it continually. And I thought that was kind of neat. You want to know why? Because the Bible's considered water sometimes. There's the illustration that's there. And if you keep on running the water of God in your heart over and over and over, you know what you're going to do? It's going to come clean. It's going to get cleaner, at least, as long as you not only hear, but you do. Look what it says in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I love Psalms 119. It's a fantastic passage of scripture. Someday I want to preach a series on it. But listen, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can you get the dust out of your eye, the beam out of your eye? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How do we get our eyes clean? Is by putting the word of God in it, by running the water and just sitting there over and over. And yes, sometimes you got to take it and you got to kind of move it a little bit and you got to kind of get those things out of your heart and life. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, that's how we're going to get clean. That's how we're going to be clean, is through the word of God. And the same thing for our own lives. If something's in our eye, what do? You sit there and you keep on running water in it, and you sit there and you look at it until it's all the way clean. And I think that's the truth when it comes to the word of God. If we truly want to clean up our ways, we will take heed according to his word, and we will hide God's word in our hearts so that way we won't continue to have things in our eyes. You don't want to clean it out with the wrong thing. I did try to even type in there, what's the wrong thing to clean out your eyes with? But it was such a dumb question, nothing came up. It's like, but you don't want to put some type of acid in your eye, right? You don't want to put some type of oil in your eye. I mean, you don't want to put something wrong in your eye. But that's what many times people are doing. They got something wrong in their heart, and they're going around and they're finding other people with beams in their eyes, and they're saying, yeah, you're fine, you look great. Or they're going to the world's methods and the world's thoughts, and they're finding someone to agree with them. There's people out there in the world that you'll find somebody to agree with you. You know, there's people out there in the world that think that the world's flat. I mean, that's out there. You're going to find somebody. And as weird as your idea might be, there's probably some type of group that would agree with you. If you want to sin, the devil's going to provide somebody that's going to say, it's okay to sin. Don't try to wash out the beam or the dirt in your own eye using the wrong things. The only thing that's going to truly make it see clearly is the Word of God. Next thing is how to tell if you have an eye that is clean. I don't know about you, but sometimes moms are good at that. You get something in your eye, and they're worried because, you know, if you leave something in your eye too long, it's going to mess up your eye. You don't want to go blind. And sometimes you got a mom there that will take and pull and look all around. You think it's all gone, but they want to make sure the eye's clean. Because you want to make sure it's clean. How do you know when it's clean? And I think there's a couple things you can look. First thing is personal examination. Personal examination. If you look at verse 46, I think it's there. Lord, Lord. And do not the things that I say? Are we listening to the commandments of God? Most of us know the things that we struggle with personally. Are we doing the things that we know we're supposed to do? And that's what verse 47, 48, and 49 is all about. Knowing the Word of God and responding to the Word of God. Knowing the things that He has given us. And so it's a personal examination. First thing you want to do when you make sure your eye is clean, you take it, you clean it out, and usually you can tell because it's very sensitive. You want to look personally at it. You want to take at personal examination, make sure there's nothing in your eyes. And one of the great ways to do that is, Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say, which I say. Are you doing things that God says? Second thing is you can go to an eye doctor, and they can look to make sure there's nothing in your eye. When I was 19 or 20 years old, I was in a car accident. I was managing a restaurant. I was going to pick up an employee, and I don't know if I, it says the people that were witnessed the accident, it was like I either fell asleep the night before, I got hit in the head with one of those big cans when I was taking inventory, and I guess instead of the two-way stop, I guess kind of went out into the road, just kind of like I took my foot off the brake. And this big truck comes, not the big giant trucks, but, you know, the pickup truck, a big pickup truck came and hit me. And I think I even rolled over once. They had to cut the jaws of life, had to cut that top off. When I woke up in the helicopter, my dad was there. They had my eyes covered up. And I said, how's my car? And I first thing I said, well, was it my fault? Because I know my dad was going to kill me if it was my fault. But he said, don't worry about that, which told me. Yeah, it was my fault. The second thing was, how's my car? He says, you know how you always wanted a convertible? He says, you got one now. But they were going to let me go from the hospital, and I kept on saying, there's something wrong with my eye. And they kept on looking at it, and they kept on, and they said, no, it was fine. And there was a piece of glass that was like that big in my eye. And I could tell there was something there, and they had to clean it out. And they, even though they had taken a light and looked at my eyes, they thought everything was fine, everything was good. The rest of my body, they cleaned up, you know, the different cuts and different things. I think I stayed overnight, don't remember too much about it. But then when they wanted to release me, they asked me how I feel, and I said, there's something wrong with my eye. I could read, I could see, but they pulled out a piece of glass that landed perfectly flat in my eye. It's kind of cool to think about. But what are you getting at, Pastor? It's the idea that even though everybody else thought I was okay, I knew there was something wrong. On the outside, everybody else could look and the doctors could look at it, and everybody said, no, there's something wrong there. And you know what's wrong in your own life. You know what your walk with God is. You know where you're struggling at. Do some self-examination, and it comes down, am I doing the things that I know God wants me to do? Then not just self-examination, look at the fruit examination that's found here. Look what it says in verses 43 through 45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit, for the thorns do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And so what are you producing in your life? I know about me. I know me that if I don't study my Bible and pray like I should in the morning, I'm not the best person to be around. It's just what comes out of me isn't as good as it could be and should be. And I know what that's like. And if I'm not producing the fruit, you say, what's the fruit? Well, there's two thoughts of fruit. Number one is when you win someone to Christ, that's fruit. And it's fruit that remains. But there's also a second fruit, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's love, joy, peace. You know, if those things are not being produced out of your life, there's something wrong inside. It's not your circumstances. Is what's coming out of you. And that's what they're saying here. It's out of the, if you go to the end of the verse, is for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. It's what's coming out of you that matters. And if you don't like what's coming out, do something inside. If you don't like how you're reacting in traffic and road rage, it's really not Christ-like. If you don't like the things you're looking at on the online, you don't like some of the comments that you're typing, if you don't like these things or you know they're not Christ-like, there's something wrong inside. I know we've been using the illustration of the eye. There's something to clean out of your eyes. Let's go back to the thing is, why do we need to do this? It's because we want to help people. We got brothers and sisters and moms and dads and sons and daughters and grandchildren that don't love the Lord like they should. And we want them to love the Lord like they should. We want God to even use us to help them do what they should. Well, the first thing we need to do is make sure our eyes are clean. We need to make sure that there's no beam in our eye trying to reach and get somebody else's specs out. God uses clean vessels for his use. Now, 2021's coming up, and I don't know what you do when it comes to New Year's resolutions or making commitments and things like that. I don't think a day really matters. If God speaks your heart, you should do something. But at the same time, you know, is there something that you need to clean out so in 2021 you can see clearly how God wants to use you to make a difference in someone else's life? We all want to be that person that helps make a difference. If we're a Christian and we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, we should have some heart desire to help other people. The problem is, many of us are not in that place because we have a beam coming out of our eye that we need to get rid of. Now, when we see somebody says, hey, can you go help that person? What are you going to say? No, I'm too dirty. No, I'm not right with God. No, we're not going to say that. Instead, we're going to go with their beam, and we're going to try to go help somebody. It's sort of like when they brought David out to Saul. And Saul wanted somebody to beat Goliath, right? And Saul said, oh, this is what you need to do. You need to put on this armor. You need to do this. You need to do that. David, you can't. Saul was in no place to give advice that day. Why is that? Because he was too afraid, because he had something in his eye. He was trying to look to the young man, the only person willing to fight, and say, hey, you've messed up here a little bit. You need to change this. He didn't need to change anything. And so many times in our own lives, yes, there is a world full of people that need help. There's a world full of people we need to encourage. There's a world full of people that we want to make a difference in their lives. But the only way we're going to be able to clearly see how to do that is when we remove the things out of our own eyes. How do we do that? It's by taking the Word of God and continuing and putting into our life. Putting into our life. Wherewith also a young man cleanses away, not just put in our life, taking heed means obeying. And that's what he's saying down here is do what you're supposed to do. I remember I'm as stubborn sometimes as a kid, and if I had something in my eye and I couldn't get it out, I'd just leave it there for a minute. And it's just, it would annoy me. And until I got to the point and I keep on running, it's not coming out. It's not. But I know what I needed to do to get rid of it. It's just continuing on doing it until it's over. So tonight, I wonder if we got something in our eyes and we need to clean it out. I bet you most of us would say, Pastor, I want to make a difference in people's lives that I love this upcoming year. I think most of us say, yes, that's me. Let's clean out the things that are in our eyes. So we can see clearly to help other people remove the moat that's in theirs. We're not going to make a difference like we could without having clean hearts and clean eyes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us tonight. We need you. Or we need to have clean eyes, or